Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
This morning I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles. We're actually going to start in Luke 19. This morning our time together in the Word is going to look a bit differently because today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, having communion together, and we are going to just walk through Scripture into the time that Jesus spent with His disciples and His Last Supper with them before His crucifixion. And then we're going to celebrate that together, remembering all that He's done for us. And then we're going to go to the Word one more time to celebrate what He did for us, to sing to Him and what He's done for us, for those of us who are part of the church, and to proclaim that to those of you who may be here, may know all about Jesus, but may not know Him, may not have surrendered your life to Him. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I want to invite you to, if you haven't already, go ahead and go to Luke chapter 19. That's where we're going to begin. We're going to quickly turn over to Luke chapter 22. Are you ready to get in the Word? Let's pray together. Father, we love You. And Lord, we've come here to do something we do every week. And that's to come together and to raise our voices together, to get under Your Word together, and to respond to Your Word together. And so, Lord, we pray that You would lead us to do just that. Father, we pray that You would be with those who can't be with us this morning, perhaps are listening through the radio. God, we just ask that Your Spirit would minister to them as they gather to hear Your Word as well. And Father, we pray that as we gather around the table this morning, something that we do regularly, God, we pray that it wouldn't be habit, but Lord, it would be worship. And Lord, that You would use it to quicken our hearts to love You more, to seek You more diligently in our lives, God, but also to proclaim the truth of the good news of Jesus to those who have yet to surrender their lives to Him. God, we just pray that You would use this time we have together this morning for Your glory and Your glory alone. Amen. So, as we approach the time when we celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus, we remember the week that He came into Jerusalem and the things that happened as He came into Jerusalem, knowing that His time in Jerusalem would end, at least temporarily, in death. And we see that as people who have the whole book. But those who were with Him were simply following Him and were completely dependent upon what He would have them do and where He would lead them and what He would tell them to do. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're just going to dive into beginning with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, Holy Week, and then we're going to go all the way to the night that He sat down to gather, to fellowship with His disciples, and to have the Last Supper, and the night that He would prepare them for His death. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 32 says this: "And when He had said these things, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When He drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, He sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as He had told them." So they're approaching Jerusalem. Jesus has told them over and over, as we looked at 2 weeks ago, that he is going to be handed over to the chief priests and authorities. He will be mocked and spit on, and He will die. He will be crucified. And so here, they are on the edge of the city where those men that would put him on the cross are. And he looks at his disciples and he says, go to the next village before we go to Jerusalem. Go to the next village and you'll find a colt tied up. And I want you to get it. And I want you to bring it back to me. And he didn't just say a colt tied up. He says a colt tied up that has never been sat upon. And that in itself points to a prophecy about Jesus, but that's not what I want to zoom in on this morning. What I want us to see this morning is Jesus' sovereignty walking into this week that he would be crucified. The smallest thing of a colt in these details, he's tied up in this village and you're going to go get him. He's never been sat upon and you're going to bring him to me. Now, if Jesus had a cell phone and he had a buddy in the next village and he said, hey, man, if you could just tie this colt up for me, leave it. I got a couple of guys, one with brown hair and he's kind of funny looking and they're going to get it. You'll know who they are when you see them and they're going to bring it to me. That'd be one thing. But Jesus doesn't have a cell phone. He hasn't sent anybody ahead. But he sends his disciples to go to get this colt that's never been sat upon, that is tied up. And they go and they find it just as he said. See, right here in this situation, going into Jerusalem, they catch a glimpse of Jesus' sovereignty. The fact that, yes, he is fully man, but he is also fully God. And he knows what is coming in the days ahead. And he is choosing to go forward to Jerusalem. Now flip over to chapter 22. Chapter 22. Verses 7 through 13. Then came the day of unleavened bread. They're now in Jerusalem. Verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. They said to him, where will you have us prepare it? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. It's later on in the week now. And once again, Jesus, he comes to his disciples and he sends a couple of them ahead and he says, you're going to go to this place. You're going to find this man carrying a jar of water. These minute details. You're going to go with him. And he's going to have a place for us to gather and have our Last Supper together. Celebrate the Passover. To celebrate all the way back in God's Word in Exodus when God delivered his people out of the slavery and bondage and hands of the Egyptians, the hands of Pharaoh. He miraculously brought them out, delivered them, rescued them out of Egypt. And every year since then, God's people gather at the Passover and celebrate God's deliverance. And Jesus is getting ready to celebrate that rescue, that deliverance with his disciples the last time before his crucifixion. And he tells his disciples to go ahead, find this man with these strange, minute details. You'll find him there. He'll show you this room, it'll be furnished, and we'll celebrate it there. Go and prepare the Passover for us. And again, if we just skim over it, we'll miss it. Right here, once again, the disciples wouldn't have missed it. This would have been odd. He's given them these minute details to go ahead of him and find these minute things and do these things, like the colt being tied up, like this man with an upper room where they would prepare the Passover and have it together. And they're seeing Jesus is in control. He knows what is going on. He doesn't just know what's going on now, but he knows what's going on somewhere else away from him, and he knows what's coming ahead in the days to come. He's sovereign. And so in preparing his disciples for the Passover and for his death and resurrection, he gives them a clear picture of his sovereignty. And church, we don't need to miss that when we gather around the table this morning. Read verses 14 and 15 in chapter 22 with me. It says, "And the hour came, and he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, 'I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" Notice Jesus' words there, earnestly desired to gather with them and to be with them and have this Passover with them. He loves these men. They are his friends and brothers, and he wants to gather with them. And when he gathered with them for the Passover and what would become the Last Supper before his crucifixion, he is not just gathering with them to fulfill tradition. He is gathering with them to be with them, to fellowship with them. And so, don't miss it. We got to connect the dots here. In his sovereignty, he prepares and is preparing them for his crucifixion. But in doing that, he gathers them to himself and gathers them not one by one, but together to point to God's deliverance for them. In church, just as we don't need to miss the sovereignty of our Lord when we gather around the table, we don't need to miss, and I'm bad about this, this is such an important part of who we are, just like baptism is, the Lord's table is, us gathering for communion is. But it's not just tradition. It's not bound up in simple obedience, but it is a time to gather. We don't do this alone, but we gather together with one another as a body of believers who claim to say, I don't bear my burdens alone. The Lord's helped me, and with the Lord's help, I also bear it with my family. And so when we gather together around the table this morning and we take the bread and we take the cup, you're not on your own. We're with one another. And the burdens we bear to the table, we're not bearing on our own, but we're bearing and are called to bear with one another. It's not just tradition. It's not just obedience. It is those things, but it's so much more. It's fellowship. It's fellowship. You think about it. What do you do when you want to spend time with somebody? Usually the first thing you do is say, "You want to go get something to eat? You grab some coffee?" You gather around a table. Sometimes we miss that Jesus' fellowship, his last time of intentional fellowship with the disciples was around the table because he wanted to be with them and he wanted them to be with one another. Now read with me verses 16 through 20 of chapter 22 in Luke. "For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" There's so much bound up in these verses. He tells them, He leads them to this place in his sovereignty. He points that out to them. He gathers them together to fellowship with himself and with one another. And then he takes a Passover where they celebrate the Lord's deliverance years and years, hundreds of years before this point in time where they're gathered around this table in Luke 22. They're celebrating the Lord's deliverance. And Jesus takes this and he points to the deliverance that he, the rescue that he will provide. He takes the bread and he breaks it and he points to what would happen to his own body. That in the days to come, they would see him arrested. In the hours to come, they would see him arrested. In the days to come, they would watch him be beaten, spit on, bruised, bloodied to an unrecognizable state. And then hung on a cross as his body eventually gives out and dies. He takes the bread, he breaks it, he passes it to them, and he says, "This is my body, which has been given for you." And then in verse 20, "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Before we talk about the cup, can you imagine what was going through the disciples' minds when they put these two things together? When they put what Jesus said in the Lord's Supper together with what they saw on the cross and in the hours leading up to the cross. His body that was broken for them, beaten, shattered, and hung for them. Then he took the cup. He says, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." So he points to the fact that his blood will be spilt on the cross. Not just spilt for any reason, but to create something new, to start something new. The disciples and the Jewish people are bound up in the old covenant, their old covenant relationship with God Almighty. The old covenant that was ratified and begun with the blood of animals. The old covenant that was based on their adherence to the law. The old covenant that provided atonement by the blood of bulls and goats, but could never really wash away the guilt and the stain of sin. And he takes the cup, he breaks the bread, he points to his crucifixion, and then he takes the cup and he says, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you." Is the new covenant in my blood. And so, Jesus, celebrating the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt, points to a greater deliverance. Celebrating God's rescue out of Egypt for his people points to an even greater rescue through himself. His body broken and his blood poured out. And blood that ratifies a new covenant relationship with God. Blood that signifies that our relationship with God is no longer based on adherence to a law, but faith in the Son of God, Jesus. And blood that begins a new covenant and provides atonement. Jesus' blood provides atonement that really and truly washes away the guilt and stain of our sin. It's white as snow. There was a greater, whether the disciples realized it or not, there was a greater rescue coming, a greater salvation coming that God would provide in his Son. In the days leading to his death in Jerusalem, Jesus sovereignly gathered his disciples together to be with himself and one another and prepared them for his death and resurrection. In church, we gather around the table today. We take the bread together and we take the cup together today to celebrate just that. Jesus' death on the cross that gives us life. And we gather around and we calm our restless hearts because the one we are celebrating today, in spite of what's going on in our lives, in spite of the chaos you may be in the middle of right now, he is sovereign. He knows what's going on. He knows all the things that are worrying you, and he knows the things that would worry you if you knew them. And you can gather around the table this morning. You can take the bread. You can take the cup. And you can just rest in his sovereignty. That the one who died and rose for you, he knows. And he is in control. And we gather around the table. If you would look around yourself in the pews around you. And you will see other people that are following Jesus with you, and you will see that you aren't alone. You don't come to this table by yourself, and you don't bear the burdens you're bearing by yourself. And if you are, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. That's why we call this fellowship. That's why we gather together to worship. And when we gather and we come to the table and we break the bread and we take the cup, we remember his blood that washes away our sin and our guilt. And we celebrate together and rest in his sovereignty. Because as he left after his resurrection, he is coming back.